Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center presents Doc Talk, an informative health series educating our community on the services provided at Peace Health. We will begin with our host, George Henry, after these messages.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
Joining me for this edition of Doc Talk is Bruce Huddleston. He is the manager of the rehab clinic. He's also an occupational therapist. And Bruce, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, George. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Now, the last time we talked was April of 2020. We had just learned that there was a pandemic beginning, and all of a sudden, you know, things are different. How has the pandemic impacted rehab over the last couple of years?
Well, initially we took a pretty big hit. Us here at Peace Health, along with so many other healthcare organizations across the country, really, started shutting down and slowing down what we were doing, and no different for us. And that first couple months was, it was pretty slow, and just getting sort of the grasp on the situation. We slowly reopen and slowly been building back up, and we haven't quite reached pre-pandemic numbers yet, but we're most definitely busy. We continue to work on ensuring the safety of our patients through cleaning, disinfecting. We're still wearing masks. We still require patients to wear a mask when they enter the clinic. We're almost back to normal, but not quite, but as close to normal as we could hope for at this point.
Now, I think that people that don't have to actually experience the therapy situation there don't understand how something like that can impact recovery. How much time can go by, that a patient can safely continue their recovery in a situation like that?
Well, I think it depends on the patient, on whatever issues they're dealing with in the moment. During the early months of the pandemic, we tried to continue seeing those patients who had really urgent needs. And you think about someone who just had a surgery and needing help to recover. And so we really tried to keep seeing those folks, trying to set up individuals with home exercise plans and get them going with exercises. But it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge for all of us. And it's been a challenge for the patients we see. And we have a lot of patients who still want to come in and participate with therapies, but we've also had a lot of patients who've not wanted to take the chance or the risk of being out in the community, out in a busy clinic, or, putting themselves at what they thought might be a risk for contracting the virus. And those folks are the ones who have really, had the most consequence of inactivity, lack of social interactions. And so those folks have needed more time to rehab and get back to some sense of normalcy in their own life when they do start returning to us here in therapies.
Was the clinic able to do virtual visits as many of the other areas of the hospital was able to do? Or
we did not. Just from a IT perspective of setting up the infrastructures to do virtual visits with computers and cameras and making sure we maintained HIPAA with our patient info. That was a limiting factor for us, doing how we bill for it and charge and get reimbursed by payer sources was a challenge. So it's not something we did. here locally. And for the most part, we didn't do it at other Peace Health clinics in Eugene from a rehab perspective either. But what we tried to do was open back up safely and as quickly as possible and try to get the patients back into the clinic as quick as we could while maintaining our safety, just to see them one-on-one and get them going again. So we really focused more on that aspect than we did on the virtual aspect.
And I'm guessing a lot of it was, as you mentioned, kind of prioritizing the most important needs of an individual first, and then, you know, those folks that maybe could wait a little while, it kind of moved a little bit farther down the list.
We did make some of those choices, and it's always sort of a tough decision to prioritize one individual over someone else. But we did have to be diligent with how we viewed various diagnoses and ailments to ensure we could handle those folks sooner. And one example, as I mentioned already, with those individuals who'd had a recent surgery, we really wanted to get them in quickly. And then we just started working down the list of the referrals we had to do our best to get them in, help them out, and try to give them some service to help their physical ailments. But we also know in helping physical ailments, you also help the psychosocial ailments someone may be going through as well. So we did have to make some choices, but we most definitely got a lot of folks in, and we continue to do so today. And it keeps – every day we get further and further, you know, into this pandemic and hopefully further away from the high numbers, we keep doing better. And so it's been great with the community supporting us and us supporting them.
I'm speaking with Bruce Huddleston. He's the manager of the rehab clinic at Peace Harbor Hospital, an occupational therapist. And we'll be back with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments. Because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
We're back with Bruce Huddleston, who is the manager of the rehab clinic at Peace Harbor Hospital. And Bruce, when we talked last, you had 4 other occupational therapists, I think, that were working in the clinic now. What is staffing looking like? Have you had a change? Have you gotten new people in?
Well, we have gotten some new therapists in. We've lost a couple as well for various reasons. I would say we're still looking to hire 2 more therapists to help us out. We have had some great travelers helping us, and we've always been fortunate with the travelers who've come through our doors to help. So we are looking still for 2 more therapists to help us, but at the same time, we still have the 4 occupational therapists. We've added, during the pandemic, we added a couple of physical therapists who have just been absolutely wonderful. So it always seems like we're running maybe 1 person behind here at this clinic, but we've been able to manage, and our organization has been tremendously supportive in us having a traveler come in and help fill the gaps as we recruit for someone else.
Now, obviously, you deal with patients who may have had surgeries there at Peace Harbor, but you're probably also dealing with Florence residents who have had to have surgeries outside the area, say at Riverbend and things like that. Are you finding the workload is fairly heavy? I imagine there weren't as many surgeries over the pandemic as there would be in a normal year.
Our workload is fairly heavy. There was that period of time initially 2 years ago when obviously we all know surgeries really slowed down, nearly came to a stop. But they really have picked up again and ramped up, and we see Most of our patients are from or referred to us from Peace Health doctors. In fact, about roughly 75%+ of our patients come through a Peace Health provider. But we see a lot of patients who go to Eugene for care, surgeries at River Bend. But we also see a lot of folks who see doctors up and down the coast as well. So we're a small clinic, small community, but we have a large geographical area of patients that we see for a variety of reasons, including surgeries.
And again, you have the sort of the widespread, you know, occupational, physical, related from surgery, probably workman's comp stuff too, that goes on a regular basis. What are some of your more common surgeries that you help people with? Was hip, shoulder, stuff like that?
Yes. I would say our largest patient population is orthopedic surgeries of some type, almost head to toe. If it's an orthopedic issue, we manage those cases, and most of those patients have had some type of surgery orthopedically. So most definitely that is our largest group of patients. After that, we deal with quite a few folks who have some neurological deficit, whether it's from a stroke, Parkinson's, multiple sclerosis, or a multitude of other neurological diseases. A lot of chronic pain folks, a lot of just general debilities. And as we age and we have aches and pains, and you know, we see those folks too. And we see a lot of folks through our speech therapy program, whether they've had a stroke and difficulty with speaking or swallowing, working with patients who've had an issue with their voice, whether they've, as we get older, or they've had some other disease process, working with memory and their cognition to improve that. A wide array of patients, but orthopedics definitely is the number one area that we deal with.
Now, with folks as they get older, obviously this is a large retirement community, even though the age over the last census, I think, dropped almost 10 years. We're a little bit younger than we were 10 years ago or 12 years ago in the last census. I hear a lot of folks talking about, including friends of mine, say, well, you know, I had a knee replacement or I had a hip replacement. Didn't really say, well, you know, I was an athlete when I was young, or, you know, maybe I had gained a little weight when I was older, it was a little tougher on me. What are some of the main causes of joint failure that need that work and then necessarily need the referral to therapy?
I think in general, it's just the aging process with osteoarthritis. As we get older, and a lot of us stay active, and our joints just wear down. That's probably one of the primary reasons that someone gets a joint replacement or they have some type of surgery. You know, for example, they're really active and they have a rotator cuff tear, so they have a surgery for that. So osteoarthritis is probably one of the main culprits out there for getting a joint replaced that with the patients we work with. But we also have a fair share of those individuals who have had some type of accident, whether they've fallen and had a hip fracture that's been repaired, or something with the shoulder or hand, wrist. So we have a fair number of individuals who've had some type of accident, and then we work with them orthopedically as well. Yeah, osteoarthritis would be the number one from the joint perspective, followed by some type of injury or accident. Some of the injuries, accidents, maybe they've had a surgery, or maybe it's something where they see therapy and they try the conservative route first to see if rehab can remedy the issue prior to having surgery. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it becomes obvious that surgery is needed. They have their surgery, fix the issue, and then come back to therapy to gain mobility, range of motion, and strength to once again be functional.
When someone is considering that, because I know sometimes people tend to put things off because they're concerned about, you know, how long it's going to take to recover, what's the process, you know, it's kind of painful, but I can deal with it at this point. Talk a little bit about the recovery process. And I know every patient's different. I know everybody, depending on their determination, depending on how their body's functioning at the time, every process can be a little longer, shorter, depending on it. But what's on average when folks come in, say they had a hip replaced, or maybe both hips replaced, what are they looking at as far as how long it takes to kind of get back to, if not normal?
Wow, that's probably a difficult question to ask or to answer. Every patient is so different, and there's so many factors that can feed into that, from age, prior activity level, to current medical situation. So it's tough to answer specifically, mm-hmm. but we get patients in, whether it's right after they've had surgery or not long after they've had some injury accident. And we start working with them to help them get through that sort of that acute phase, which helps working with them to get through some of the pain, manage some of the pain, start initiating that mobility or the range of motion of that joint. And then, progressing from there to getting them more mobile, working on strength exercises, flexibility, and those things to eventually become much more functional. So it's tough to give a hard number on how many visits a person takes to get back to where they feel good about their ability to be functional and safe and return to what activities they would like to do. And we run the gamut anywhere from 5, 6, 7 visits to well into the teens to 20 visits, pending the individual. The last numbers I ran back in January, as we kind of got through that month, we were averaging about 12 visits per case, and that's across the board with all patients, all diagnoses. But I would say most of our patients do run in that probably that 10, 12, 14 visit range for what we're working on. Some less, some more, but that's usually a pretty good number to think about, especially if you've had a surgery. You might go 10, 12, 14 more, 16 maybe, based on how things are progressing. But I think what's the nice thing here is that we have a great group of therapists who work with the patient to kind of make that determination and have that collaboration as to what is really needed, how the patient's feeling, where the patient wants to get to. And then our providers who refer these patients are very supportive as well. And with the plans of care, so we send to them to be reviewed and signed. So it really does, in a sense, turn out to be a collaborative approach to ensure the patient feels good about what they're doing.
Do most folks that have insurance find that it's the process is covered all the way through the end of therapy, or do they limit the amount that folks can do?
Some of the insurances do limit the number of visits an individual could have, and that could be for a variety of reasons. One, that's just the type of plan the patient has. It limits to a certain number of visits in the calendar year. Some insurances may limit how much therapy is given based on the reason the patient is being seen. So we can send in the diagnoses to get authorization for therapy services, and the insurance company may say yes, they may say no, based on what's going on. I know insurance companies don't always agree with what the physician and the therapist may want the patient to receive. But we also have a lot of insurance companies that do provide or allow the patient to receive much more therapy services and to really get the full benefit of going through a rehab program to get back to the level that the patient and the therapist has discussed that would be really good to be at. So it really depends on the plan. I really encourage folks out there, as you're looking to maybe switch your insurance or change insurances, to really review the small details and the fine print to ensure you know exactly what your benefits are, not only from a rehab perspective, but from medical care in general.
Now, you mentioned that some folks go have therapy as a preventative measure in order to maybe not have to have surgery. Is that things that you notice that some insurance companies also cover?
It is. Some insurance companies want some preventative care done prior to surgery. Maybe to justify not having surgery. Maybe you improve and get strong enough and return to function without needing surgeries because you went to therapy. That's possible. But they also, research has proven that if an individual has an elective procedure coming up, that if they go through a course of pre-surgery rehab and get stronger and a little more flexible and sort of get an idea of what to expect, that they actually have better outcomes after surgery, and which again can then shorten the whole recovery phase, which again from an insurance perspective is saves them money financially. So there are some insurance companies that would and do support pre-rehab, so to say.
Yeah, and it helps the patient too, because they, if they're stronger going into surgery, like you said, when they come out of it, they're quicker to recover usually.
Absolutely. Typically, the recovery is a little bit faster because the patient's stronger. They're better able to get up and start being mobile. And research just proves that the quicker you're able to get up and start being mobile again after surgery, that usually your outcomes are going to be much better.
I'm speaking with Bruce Huddleston. He's the manager of the rehab clinic over at Peace Harbor Hospital. He's also an occupational therapist. He's a Texas A&M grad and a Florida Gator as well. We'll be back in just a minute here with more on this edition of Doc Talk.
During uncertain times, the best way to stay healthy is to know the facts. Here are some ways we all can help stop the spread of COVID-19. Only leave your home for necessities. Wash your hands for at least 20 seconds. Call your doctor before going to the clinic or hospital if you're experiencing COVID-19 symptoms. At Peace Health, the safety and well-being of our patients, caregivers, and communities is our highest priority. We are all in this together. For more information, log on to peacehealth.org/COVID.
Don't miss a beat. Peace Health can help you keep up on the latest for your heart with expert advice, advanced procedures, and comprehensive care. We have more than 50 expert cardiologists and 9 heart clinic locations throughout the Northwest to serve you. Let us put together a personalized heart care plan for you so you can enjoy all of life's incredible moments, because focusing on your heart means you'll never miss a beat. Learn more at peacehealth.org/hearthealth.
On this edition of Doc Talk, I'm speaking with Bruce Huddleston. He is the manager of the rehab clinic. He's also an occupational therapist over at Peace Harbor Hospital there, and he's the head guy. And Bruce, I know that we talked about a couple of years ago, maybe a little bit of work that you do with athletes and things like that, maybe school age and stuff. How much of that is part of the practice there at the rehab clinic?
Well, it's part of our practice, albeit it's a small part. We will see children of a variety of ages. I would say our clinic, with not only how the clinic itself is set up and designed currently, but with the expertise of our staff, we kind of those early teen years up through the later teen years is probably more of the kids we can support and work with much more efficiently than perhaps other much younger children. But we have seen a few. Most of the children we see come to us that have some type of orthopedic injury, whether it's just they're out running around the playground or if they're participating in an organized sport. So we do see those kids. We work with them very efficiently, effectively. And we appreciate getting those children here in our clinic so we can keep them here locally versus them traveling over to Eugene or a further distance away for their rehab. So we do see a few. Most definitely have the opportunity and the potential to see more if they're referred to us. So children who have more of the orthopedic injuries, we can manage really well. There are a lot of other diagnoses that children can have, and some of those we may not be as good at working with simply because of one, staff expertise, and two, the clinic not being set up or designed to be a pediatric specific clinic. So we do have some limitations, but for those orthopedic injuries with children that get sent to us, we are capable of managing and working with those kids and their families.
So things like, obviously, you probably don't have as many joint related injuries at that age, or but I'm, I imagine there's some, but is like a standard, like a broken arm or stuff like that, does that require therapy sometimes, or a broken leg, or is it more joint?
If it's a broken bone, I think it depends on where the break is. If it's if the break is in proximity or very near a joint, they may benefit from rehab, just because of how the joint may possibly be involved, and that decreases the mobility of that joint. So that's most definitely a possibility. We've seen ACL tears. We've seen some foot ankle injuries from a child playing soccer. Sometimes we've seen kids who might have a shoulder overuse injury, for example, if they're doing a lot of overhead shooting. If you think about basketball, or think about overhead sports like tennis and volleyball, those type of sports. So we get overuse overhead injuries with the shoulders. So we see them. But we've also seen children who sometimes developed various aches and pains through your typical growth and development. And sometimes, they start having aches and pains because they're weak in a certain area, and then they start compensating their movements and they develop these aches and pains. So we can bring those kids in, assess them, and create a exercise program to help be more muscle specific, strengthening and targeting that specific area to help get them back to a normal gait pattern, how they walk or how they use their upper extremities and doing functions to help, in a sense, sort of normalize that movement, get it back to being the way it should be without having to compensate and then creating those aches and pains.
Now, obviously, aches and pains are a good indicator of something possibly going on, not just in children, but in us older folks as well. Are there any other like early warning signs before it gets to like severe aches and pains that older people can start thinking about or be conscious about? Or is it something that kind of just happens all of a sudden?
Well, I think for most of it's probably something that happens gradually over a period of time. And for most of us, including me, we ignore it until something bad happens. But I would say, if you're starting to have aches and pains, trying to figure out why you're having those issues, or if you notice a little weakness that you didn't have before, if you notice perhaps you're tripping a little bit more often, or your balance doesn't seem as good, those are all sort of indicators that maybe you could benefit from therapy. And it's sometimes therapies can assess you, develop an exercise plan, and sort of help transition you to maybe you start going to the gym, or you just start walking more often, or you start doing things on your own and sort of move a lot of folks maybe from where they were in a period of inactivity and getting them reengaged and becoming active again. As we all know, the more active we can be and the longer we can be active in as we get older, and then the better our overall health and mobility will be.
Since we last talked 2 years ago, I had something that happened to me over, I think it was the summer, where I was stepping off the back deck and there was like a mossy part on the wood there, and my left leg kind of went to the left and my upper leg stayed in place, and I really toward that interior, whatever it is, on that. And I went for about 6 months thinking, well, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And eventually it did heal. And I don't have any problems with it now, but it's not something I would have recommended if I had to do it all over again. I think that would have been something that I probably would have said, maybe I can ease this pain quicker if I knew how to deal with it properly.
Oh, it's possible. You get you obviously can go to the physician. They can talk to you, get a referral to therapy, have an assessment done, and they can, in a sense, try to figure out, biomechanically what happened and how to then sort of remedy the issues. And it's not always that you have to come to therapy for a long period of time. Sometimes it can just be a few visits to sort of get you back in alignment, get you set up on some exercises, monitor those exercises, make sure they're working well, and And that can be what it takes sometimes to kind of get you back up moving and decreasing that pain. And as we all know, if I have a lot of pain, that usually tells me I'm not going to move a whole lot. And so it's, in a sense, becomes a vicious cycle between pain to not moving, which then feeds into more pain. So therapy could help. And it can be easy as an assessment. Do a few visits and get you back out the door, back to doing what you like to do.
I know when I'm in pain, I tend to want to sit more than yes. move around. So yeah, the quicker you can heal, the better. Again, you mentioned the fact referrals. That's probably where most of the business comes from for the clinic. Is that correct?
It is. We do require a physician referral. Peace Health providers are great to us. We and over 75% of our patients come through a Peace Health provider. And then we see patients who see providers all over the area and even down into California. But we do need a referral. But we also, the referrals can get sent to us internally or externally by faxing over. Or we also appreciate patients who walk in our clinic and hand us a piece of paper that's a referral, and we'll handle that situation right there with the patients with us. But we do need a referral.
All right. Bruce Huddleston, thank you so much for spending time with me today. I really appreciate it. It's always good information, and it's always good to hear, recap sometimes things you might already know, but you might need a little help remembering to kind of kickstart you there.
Sure. I always enjoy talking with you and providing some more info to the community. It's the community here in Florence has been absolutely wonderful to us, and we're very happy to be part of it.
So if you're listening out there today and you've got some pain or some issues like that, that it might be orthopedic of nature, talk to your doctor and get a referral to the clinic over there at Peace Harbor. Bruce, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Doc Talk, presented by Peace Health Peace Harbor Medical Center. For more information on the program and services provided, visit peacehealth.org.